And that was the pinnacle of my career. I was making more money than I had ever made. I was in magazines. I was being flown all over the country to do keynotes. I mean, it was like a time that you strive for in your career. Right. And that's when I walked off. And I never turned back, and I didn't regret it.
Broadcasting from Boston, Massachusetts, you're listening to the Technology Equals Equality podcast.
Hey, welcome back to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 80. Today, I have the pleasure of welcoming the franchise advisor, Marielle Miller, to the show. With 27 years of experience, Marielle Miller works nationwide with individuals who are actively looking for business opportunities, career, and investment options. Her clients desire to enhance the quality of their life, increase flexibility, and improve their net worth. Business ownership could be a vehicle to achieve these goals. No fees or obligations, just solid information and coaching about franchising. The objective is to connect clients to the opportunities that will be the best fit given their professional skills, personal objectives, and financial goals. Once identified, Marielle works to personally coach and educate clients on how to conduct a solid search, how to evaluate profitability, and how to fund the opportunity. Marielle's niche is executive franchise ownership, where an individual can build a business that promises a strong return on investment and the potential for significant equity as the business matures. The professional services offered are always 100% free of charge, no fees or obligations. As said before, just good, solid information and coaching about entrepreneurship and business ownership for the curious to the committed potential entrepreneur. Your search for a great business just got easier. Marielle, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Certainly. So we are going to dive into your practice, the franchise advisor, in just a moment. But before we do, we want to kind of rewind the clock and just look at childhood. Look at when you were a teenager or a kid. Think about a time when an aunt or uncle may have asked you what it is you wanted to be when you grew up. What did you think your future would look like?
Oh gosh, that's so funny that you asked me that question, because I went to a Catholic high school and the guidance counselor suggested that I go to secretarial school. And I went home that day, and there was Days of Our Lives was on, and there was a woman, Marlena, and she was in a business suit in an office building. And I said, that's what I'm going to be. And then I waited to figure her out, and she was an industrial psychologist. So the next week, I went back to the guidance counselor, and I said, I'm going to be an industrial psychologist. So so I went to undergrad for psychology and graduate school for organizational development and got a master's in understanding people and performance in business. And I never got to the point of getting a doctorate and actually working in an office with a suit. Like, I never did that piece because I found franchising right out of graduate school. But I did follow that path. And I'm really, really glad that that show was on that day, you know, because, you know, if it was Wheel of Fortune, I'd have come out and I'd be Vanna White. You know, it all worked out, you know.
No, that is a good one. I love it. Yes, definitely. Very fortunate to have had Days On versus Vanna White. That is very funny. I like that. So when you came out of grad school, of course, you were thinking to yourself that you were going to be an industrial psychologist, and that's what you were studying for. Tell us about how you fell upon the franchise opportunity. What happened there? What were some of the first steps you took?
Well, you know, I got out of graduate school and I got a job, and I hated the job. It was in a vocational rehabilitation work. So it was working with people that were unemployed, basically trying to knock people off of benefits.
Right.
And it was very depressing. And so I said to myself, what can I do? I was on my own. I was making about $20,000 a year. I was living in Philly and I couldn't quit. So in order to have some joy and some contribution in my life, I decided to go to a weight loss clinic and to counsel people who were on a weight loss journey. I figured that wouldn't be too tough. It's not like, you know, serious mental illness, but it's still in my field and it's about people and all this.
Right.
So I ended up in a company called Nutrisystem. And after a week, the area director asked me to become an assistant manager. And that job paid $17,000. And I said I couldn't take the cut. And she said, well, we'll trust me. You're going to be okay. Within a year and a half, I was making over $100,000 annually. This was back in the 80s. That was a lot of money.
Yes, that is.
And I was managing multiple locations and traveling all over Pennsylvania, opening these units. It was a career like it was just this rocket ship. And what I saw anyone who had talent, who had drive, ambition, and was flexible, was creating these amazing careers. So that was my first real taste into what franchise growth could do from the inside, right? So I was on the inside and I focused in that role on best practices in franchising. How do you manage all these units? How do you get them open? How do you keep people happy? How do you create a workforce that's dynamic and identifiable and unique? Like all the people side of it. So that was kind of cool. That company ended up with something like over 1,000 units nationally back at that time. So it was really a ride, you know, to be involved. And I haven't left the industry since then. Wow. And since then, I've seen that happen time and time again from the outside, you know, as a consultant and as an advisor.
Out of grad school, you started with a job that you absolutely hated, which I'm sure sounds familiar to many, many, many others in the audience, you know, starting off with that job. And I believe you said it was in vocational rehab. So of course, you know, you're in a position where you're assisting those who are in a negative equity situation, positive light in your day throughout the day. So I can imagine that you really needed to make that pivot and that shift. I love how you chose to make that decision for yourself, that you wanted to actually bring that joy into your life, because that's something that I think a lot of people lose sight of. They go to work, they go home, and they don't bother to really focus on finding that piece that is actually going to make them smile throughout the day. And you did that by finding a way to mentor others and help them move forward in life through the weight loss clinic, which ended up, you know, pivoting into your having the ability to witness the franchise opportunity from the inside out. So the stepping stones that took you there, I love how you connect those dots, because sometimes people don't really see how those dots connect. Of course, you have to be there in the end to really look back and say, wow, it's hilarious how this ended up. Because of course, you had no idea you were going to be in a franchise opportunity. That's not what you were looking to do. You weren't listening to a podcast that had to do with, you know, the franchise opportunity. And, you know, somebody may send this episode to someone else that isn't thinking about a franchise opportunity. And you just never know where those dots connect. I love that story. When you decided, okay, this is amazing. The franchise opportunity that you were witnessing from the inside out with Nutrisystem, studying the best practices, understanding how to grow the business. What was it that made you pivot in the journey from there to become a consultant, to become the advisor of those with the franchise versus owning a couple of franchises yourself and just continuing with that course?
So there were many steps along the way. You know, Nutrisystem was my first publicly traded franchisor that I worked for, and I worked for others, and I worked for some horrible ones as well. And so I saw the best of the best, and I saw some of the worst of the worst in terms of how franchisors treat the system. Mm-hmm. In addition to seeing that and learning just so much from being in some of these poorly managed operations, I also saw something extremely interesting to me. Now, remember, I'm studying high performance. I'm studying the idea of people and potential. That was sort of what I was driven by. So what I saw in these systems was regardless of how strong the system was, there was always the normal curve. You had a bunch of mediocrity, a handful of folks that shouldn't be there that are doing poorly, and a handful that are knocking it completely out of the park. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, it was really sad. I had to padlock the doors one time on a business. They lost everything. That was a poor fit, you know, from what the person could do and what they were being asked to do in the business. Mm. Yet I saw many, many people create multi-million dollar businesses who in and of themselves were very average people, you know, just average degree from an average college. You know, we're not talking these extraordinary stories. We're talking just average people like that walk around every day, right, creating these mega businesses. And so I got extremely interested in that. And I began to study specifically, you know, what's the difference? How does the people factor, who you are at your core, how does that affect your success in the role you take on? So right before I left, you know, life as a corporate employee, the last role I had was as a consultant for a human resource management company. So that was the closest to Marlena I had ever gotten. And I spent 5.5 years with this Princeton firm. And we went out and we identified the profile of high performing franchise owners. And we taught the franchisor how to go out and mirror that and collect people that are just like that. And we were able to tip the scales in some of these organizations to higher, you know, margins, higher revenue, higher profitability, because we were matching people to roles. And that was really fun. And I worked with some very recognizable, huge companies in franchising. And I worked with a lot of startups. And then one day I realized I had forgotten to do something. I didn't get married and have any kids. I was like, wow, this isn't good. I was like getting old and I'm like, oh boy. So, in short order, I come off the road, and 'cause I was on the road the entire time, like literally 90% of my life was traveling, you know, Sunday night to Thursday night. Right. That's sort of what it's like in franchise field operations. You're just all over the country all the time. So anyway, so next thing you know, I wake up and I have a 1 and a 3-year-old. Oh, I get emotional about this, but like everything changed. Oh. And I was no longer going to sacrifice any of my time, mm-hmm, you know, away from these kids.
Right.
So the decision was very easy for me. To get there wasn't, but the decision that I am not cut out for this life anymore came in a moment. It was like, I don't know, just like a lightning strike. Like, this, yeah, is not you. You did it. And I left in 2004. And that was the pinnacle of my career. I was making more money than I had ever made. I was in magazines. I was being flown all over the country to do keynotes. I mean, it was like a time that you strive for in your career. Right. And that's when I walked off. And I never turned back. And I didn't regret it. Oh, I get so emotional about it. But that's really what happened, you know. That's the reason why. It had to do with deciding, you know, what am I trading my time for? Because every moment you're trading your time. What is it all for? And nothing mattered anymore. None of that stuff I just shared mattered.
Yeah. Yeah.
What mattered was these two girls.
Exactly. I think your story is so familiar, again, to so many entrepreneurs and those who want to become entrepreneurs who have children or thinking of having kids and just are no longer willing to trade their time for dollars anymore at all.
Right.
Just not willing to put that investment in because it's not worth it. There's so little time that you have with kids as kids. So I speak from experience. My daughter is now 17, rapidly approaching 18. And it, yep, flies, it flies, it flies. And cherishing every second, every moment, and every opportunity is so unbelievably important in life. As humans across the globe, that's something I think we can all understand. And as you spoke to that, like, I too remember when my daughter started kindergarten and I decided that schedule's not going to work it out. I'm going to go into real estate because I can work it out in that manner. So that was one of my first stints as an entrepreneur in life was in the real estate field, just really based off of the fact that I had a child whose schedule was not going to match up and I didn't want someone else raising her. I wanted that privilege. Yeah. I wanted to be the ability to be there and enjoy those moments. What did you find to be the most difficult piece of making that transition from the pinnacle of your career, flying across the country, doing keynotes, advising people working in the franchise industry? What do you feel was the hardest piece of kind of taking that step back and moving forward and making the transition into the franchise advisor?
You know, it wasn't really that difficult, and I don't regret it. And there isn't a day that, you know, I sit here in my sweats every single day for 14 years and no one's asking me to, you know, big interviews and none of that's happening. And I don't miss it for a moment. It's not even a thought, you know.
Right.
The challenge all boiled down for me to self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
When I look back and I look at my greatest mistakes, they were diluting my impact by chasing after stuff that looked more secure than what I was doing, taking my eye off the ball because I doubted my confidence in myself. Mm. So when I got started, I went 8.5 months without a dime coming in. And I gave myself 6 months of working capital. I had saved it before I quit. The day I hit exactly 6 months of my monthly nut being covered in the bank, I walked in and resigned.
Nice.
On the same day. Yep, because I was just waiting for that moment.
Yep.
And I figured it'll take me 6 months. That's what everyone told me. So I got into the business and it took 8.5 months. And even though that was scary, that wasn't the hardest thing. You know, I got through that because I knew if I do what I'm told, and that's why I love franchising. If I do what other people have done, I'm going to get what they got. Like I had no doubt in my mind, crystal clear about that. So that was fine. And I was working and I was building a brand and I was filling a pipeline and I was getting customers. They were falling out the bottom like they do if you do the stuff in the top. It was all exactly as measured. Except a couple months, a little bit late because of my own personal learning curve. But like I said, you know, the biggest challenge was when I'd run after a shiny penny, like a consulting gig that was going to pay X amount for 6 months and then take my eye off my practice doing what I do today, which is helping the entrepreneur explore franchise options. So that I think is the hardest thing is fear-based and then a lack of confidence in the plan.
Mm.
Being scattered, you know?
Definitely. Definitely. When you don't have the confidence in what it is you're doing and that fear of the next step due to the lack of confidence, it creates a moment of lack of focus where you can't focus on what it is you should be focused on in order to move forward with that piece. Because like you said, you're so scatterbrained and concerned with all the other areas that you could be focusing on. How do you feel you overcame that piece for yourself? What did you do for yourself in order to move forward through that?
Well, you know, I don't know that I did anything. I think what happened to me was that my drive mm-hmm. superseded the fear. And what I mean by that is there was one particular thing I did in the midst of all this. I took a consulting gig. It was a year. We took a concept from writing it on a napkin to actually having a brick and mortar building and franchising it nationally. And through that process, I wrote about 27 or 28 manuals for the organization. And I just did a major brain dump and just, it was a ton of work. And it gravely affected my family to points so low, I never thought I'd hit. With the family. We were in crisis actually, because I was so removed, you know, from them for 16 hours a day, many days.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I did it because it was a regular monthly check. And I sold my soul for that. And when that ended, when it was all done, I said, never again will I ever, ever do that. And from that point on, I gave my business, my practice, 110% of my energy and effort. I say no to things at, like all the time that aren't a direct connect to my core needs, which is connecting with more people, helping more people, you know, getting more people placed in the right business. Like that's it. And my productivity that year tripled. My activity and my revenue tripled in 1 year. That's how I got over it, by making a huge mistake.
Yeah. When you get to a point where there's a project or a position that is taking over to a degree where the family can no longer handle it, you have to take a mirror and kind of reevaluate what it is you were doing. Despite the fact that it was a regular paycheck, it wasn't worth the paycheck, not the strain or the stress or the frustration that the family as a whole had to deal with. Now, you've built out your own practice. You are now the franchise advisor. So tell us a little bit about your practice, the clients that you work with.
So what I do is I help busy professionals evaluate and select opportunities that have the best opportunity for them to build wealth and improve the quality of their life. That's really, in essence, what it's all about. So I work with individuals who are usually they're working. A lot of times folks, you know, are unemployed or looking at early retirement or some kind of a layoff, but most often they're working and they either are looking to replace their income through owning a business or they want a passive or semi-passive investment. So they want to create a plan where over the next 5 years, let's say, they build something that they could retire into. So either way, we could definitely help them because the opportunities right now in franchising are robust and abundant. I always say there's something for everyone down this path. And anybody with any curiosity whatsoever who has ever said to themselves, I should be in business for myself, deserves to look and deserves to compare. Should I do this on my own or should I get into a franchised system? And it's only fair. In fact, back in 2003, when I was looking at this, there are a couple opportunities that do what I do that are actually franchised. You could actually purchase a business to become a franchise advisor. And I looked at that as well as looking to do it on my own. You have to compare, you know, apples to oranges when you're looking at your options. So that's what we do. We spend approximately 2 to 6 months with people. We do lots of education on the franchise landscape, a lot of coaching, individual business planning. You know, we have to extract from them their individual goals and what they're trying to accomplish. And then we go shopping for them down about 70 different categories that franchising is happening in. We talk about them all. We determine which ones are of interest. And we'll bring top performing companies and teach you, okay, how do you really examine this thing so that you pick the right one, that you make a good choice, that you fit, that you'll be a top performer? Because I really believe from my background that everybody could be average at about everything. But in order to truly succeed, you need to play to your strengths.
Yes.
And that's part of what we do.
So you're really taking the time to do somewhat of a micro swap with your customers and clients and really just kind of working with them on what are your strengths, what it is you're looking to accomplish in the future, what are the goals that they're looking to get to, and how the different franchise opportunities would really match up with that, I'm assuming, lifestyle-wise and things of that sort.
And the funny part is that about 95% of the folks that we help find a business they would have normally never even considered on their own. That's the interesting twist. Yeah.
That's funny. Really go ahead and introduce people to industries and ideas, things that they may not have been thinking of before, because you never know how that new aha moment will be sparked. Now, I did happen to notice when checking out your website and kind of going through it, you do have a buyer's education guide. So I will definitely go ahead and link to both the website as well as the ebook so that the audience can have a chance to kind of check that out show is really about assisting entrepreneurs with coming up with new ideas for a business or an opportunity in an industry that they may not have been thinking of. And of course, this is the first time that we've had the opportunity to really kind of dive in to franchise as an industry as a whole. And I got to tell you, I think that's funny that you can actually purchase the franchise to be a franchise advisor. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's not funny.
That's a great one. So, but what we're looking to do is see, as a franchise advisor, if you had the ability to change anything at all in the industry or in your practice operationally on a day-to-day basis, what would it be and why?
I think the biggest challenge is that we have to educate the entire marketplace that we exist and then secondarily explain how we're different. So most products or services have the benefit that you understand. Like if it's cold out, I'm going to buy a coat. Let me go see the coat I like. It's pretty simple, right? In our business, nobody knows. There are only about, last study I read, about 1,500 people in the country who do the work I do. So while it's a full-time intensive career for myself and all of my friends and associates in this business, the vast majority of people have no idea. So just like if you're going to buy a house, you use a realtor. If you're going to get a job, you might use an executive headhunter. If you're going to invest, you might use a financial advisor. Now, you can do all this stuff on your own. You know, you could get apps and you could do it on your own. But most people get an advisor for efficiency, for clarity, for those kinds of things. It's in the same exact model. Our services are completely free of charge to our clients. We're paid only if a transaction is made, just like a realtor, just like an executive headhunter.
Right.
And people don't know. So I think I would somehow get the message out, which this certainly is very helpful. So thank you for the opportunity, that there is a service for those people that are curious about the franchise landscape.
To educate and also differentiate so that people really, truly understand what a franchise advisor is actually doing and how you guys differentiate yourselves from other industries and also from other competitors. No, mm-hmm. I totally understand. And I hope that we are going to be of assistance in terms of, getting the word out there and really educating the audience in terms of the franchise opportunities that do exist for them out there. Marielle, you've been absolutely wonderful. And I thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your time and the opportunities with the community as a whole. Please share the best way for our listeners to find you.
Sure. So the website is thefranchiseadvisor.com. And the toll-free is 877-220-4214. You can also reach me with an email, and that's Mariel, M-A-R-I-E-L, at thefranchiseadvisor.com. There's also a lot more resources that I send to people, you know, what's trending, what are some of the myths, what could I afford, mistakes people make. There's all kinds of white papers. So just get connected if you have any curiosity, I'd be happy to help.
Awesome. Definitely, I will be sure to link to everything through the show notes page so that anyone who is interested can have easy access to find you and have an opportunity to connect. Marielle, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
Marielle, again, thank you so much for sharing your time and expertise with the community. We truly enjoyed having you here. And Techie Community, if you have ever thought about building out a passive income or owning a franchise of your own, be sure to reach out to Marielle Miller at thefranchiseadvisor.com. You can always reach her through our show notes page at technology-equality.com/Marielle Miller.
Thank you once again for joining me. And until our next episode, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions. Enjoy the week.